Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
It's a great day, isn't it? It's an awesome day. I'm feeling all right today. It's going to be good. It's going to be a long day if you're going to the carols in Dalyellup afterwards as well. It's going to be long. And I think my cord is just... There we go. We moved it around a bit. If you're joining us, I'd like a special welcome to you guys to... there's a heap of people online. Kay and Ivan are online. Sue and Sue are online. Two different Sues. You know, Narelle and Lisa are online. There's heaps of people online. If I've forgotten you... Hey, it's so good to have you with us, and it really is our joy for you to join us live and stuff. So tell us where you're watching from, what suburb you might be watching. We know Anthony watches from South Africa most weeks. I don't think he's missed a week for a long time, so hi to Anthony. And we know there's people in Canada, in England, in Melbourne. Barbara in Melbourne watches as well, and there's a whole heap of people that watch. So very special welcome to you. We love having you with us, and I know I say that every week, but it's good for you to join us as part of the Southwest Salvo family. Okay, it is December. Just want to start by asking a simple question because I'm just curious more than anything else. It has nothing to do with my sermon. But who's finished all their Christmas shopping? Who's halfway through their Christmas shopping? Who hasn't started at all? They're my people right there. My people right there. They haven't started at all. Men, just so you know, we've got 20 days before we need to actually start shopping. Christmas Eve is a Saturday, so the shops are open and we've got a couple of weeks still, men, but it's all good. My people right there, I haven't started. Zoe and I haven't started shopping yet. We actually have no idea what to get our family at all this year, so maybe if you've got suggestions, you can let Zoe and myself know. If you've got your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 14. Today I'm just going to give you some thoughts. God has been speaking to me in a number of different ways, and I'm hoping I can tie this all together because there's a couple of different thoughts that he's given me in the last sort of 2 or 3 days that has really just spoken to my heart and was a reminder to me, and I'm hoping it's a reminder to you and it speaks to your heart as well. But we're going to go to John chapter 14, verse 27. As you're getting there, this is a passage in John where Jesus is with his disciples and they're in the upper room. And this is just before John records that they get up and Jesus starts his journey to Gethsemane, to the cross. And so they're in the upper room and Jesus is comforting them. He's telling them, look, I have to go. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to be with my Father. I have to go that way. I'm going to the cross and then to my Father. But I will send the Holy Spirit to come and be with you, to be your comforter, to be with you through life, to remind you of everything I've taught you in this time. And so the disciples are there and they must have been looking quite worried because in John chapter 14, verse 27, can I have it up on the screen, please? It says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This word peace that Jesus is talking about here, it's not the type of peace that you get in the Miss World or Miss America or Miss Australia, you know, the beauty competitions, you know. It's not like, Miss World, what would you like? What if you could have one wish, what would you wish for? Can I have world peace? You know, like, it's not that type of peace. It's not that type of peace. The type of peace that Jesus is talking about here is the type of peace that transcends all understanding. It's a peace that is out of this world. It's a peace that is supernatural. It's a peace that is God-given directly from heaven, an unexplainable peace in our hearts and our souls and our minds. It's that type of peace. In fact, if you dig deeper into that word peace, you'll see that in the Greek, it's actually the word irene. I practiced this at home, I tell you, I did. I did practice. Irene, I think is how you say it. Irene. It's where we get the word Irene from, actually. If you so Irene, oh, I don't know. You get it. E-R-E-N-E is how you spell it, all right? Irene. In the Hebrew, it would be shalom. It's that type of peace. More than a greeting or a blessing over people, it was like a prayer, you know, a blessing of harmony, of wholeness, of completeness, of prosperity, of welfare and tranquility. It's that type of peace. And I want you to notice that he says, this peace, my peace, I give to you. In other words, we have it. We have that peace. It has been given to us. And if you, oh my, this is bothering me. Hopefully it will be all right. Jesus is saying, my peace, my wholeness, my completeness, my prosperity, my harmony, I give that to you. We have that now. And if you follow traditional Advent kind of calendar, each week we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus the second time, and we reflect on the first coming of Jesus, and we look at this baby in a manger, you know, away in a manger, this baby, you know, and we kind of think about this leading up to Christmas, and we think about how in the manger that day was born hope. In the manger that day was born peace. In the manger that day was born hope. In the manger that day was born love. In the manger that day was born our Saviour. And he completes us. It's like having a hole in our heart that is Jesus shaped, and he just completes it. He fixes it. That's he says, this is the type of peace I now give you. Now I started thinking about this, and in our world right now, if there was ever a time in all of history where the world needed this kind of peace, it's right now. Wouldn't you say so? Right now, I mean, the cost of living's gone up. Last year when we did our Christmas shopping for all our hampers and stuff, milk was 90 cents. This year it's $1.60. Fuel, well, let's not talk about fuel. Let's not open that box. Like, the cost of living has skyrocketed. There's COVID and the pressures of COVID in our world. We hear of train derailments. That's why our shops are emptying right now, because there's no stock coming over east to here. You know, there's multiple things happening in our world. And then you start to think about, you know, our own lives with health concerns and our families that may be estranged, and people with mental health issues and concerns, and maybe we ourselves are struggling to make ends meet. Like, we live in a messed up world, do we not? It's messed up. And if there was ever a time where we could give that meaning of peace to people, it is right now. And as Christians, we've been given that peace, amen? Amen. We've got that peace, amen? Amen? Come on, get excited about it. We've got that peace, amen? Amen? Amen. We've got that peace. The peace that comes from God when we believe in him. He sends the Holy Spirit and just completes us, makes us whole, gives us that peace. But I've got a confession to make today. And we're all friends, right? Yep. Yeah, we're all friends. I can trust yous. I got a confession. This week, I've struggled to find that peace. In fact, the last couple of weeks, I've struggled to find and access that peace. What I have felt and what has hit my heart is not the peace of God, it's the busyness of Christmas. You know what I'm talking about, right? And just hear me out. This is this week, the last week and a bit. There's been issues with our ordering. Normally we just go to the shop, one big order. There's been issues with that. We couldn't do that this year, so we have to go around all the different shops and buy it. But because the credit card, the Salvo credit card's in my name, I have to go to all the shops and buy it. I can't just give it to someone to do. We had a biker's toy run last Saturday. We have another one to go next weekend that starts in Capel, sleeps overnight in Augusta and ends up in Busselton the following day. We had the Scouts come down on Tuesday night and they did some cooking for us, and we gave them a bit of a tour of the facility and all that. We've got Christmas cheer applications happening at the moment. Triple M has just done a big 5-day horse ride down the stock Warren Blackwood's stock route, and they were raising funds and cash and coins for us as well. Kmart Wishing Trees have been going on. We've had businesses donating. Emails for events, for this event, that event has been going on. There's just been all that going on. And this is all on top of what we normally do every week. It has been a busy, busy time. A busy time. And at the same point, Zoe and I are going to work out what we're going to buy our kids for Christmas and try and carve time out as husband and wife and obviously family time. And I now coach my son's basketball team and there's training on Mondays and games on Wednesdays and like just trying to, it's busy and I'm tired. Very tired. On Friday, I kind of, under the weight of all of this, and look, I'm just telling you where I'm at, and I know that you guys in your own ways have felt the busyness of Christmas. So I'm not saying, look at me, poor me. That's not what this is about. But on Friday, I collapsed on my couch as I was heading into a coma. And I was hoping to stay there for a few days. And luck, we were blessed. My mother-in-law and father-in-law came down and they cleaned our house for us and it was so good. So thank you, Mum and Dad, for that. But I laid on the couch and I was just like, God, I need some peace. God, I need some wholeness. I need that Irene. I need that shalom. I need it in my life right now. As I said, I struggled to find that peace that I've been given already. It's mine already to have. And I was struggling to find, and I was struggling to see all the hard work. And I started thinking, there's got to be more to life than just work and no energy. And like hear me right, I wasn't losing my faith. There was no my faith in God is rock solid, right? It is there. I wasn't losing my faith. I wasn't in a crisis of any kind. I was just tired. And I just needed some peace. Yeah? And then God reminded me of the chapter after John 14, after this, John 15. And he reminded me of a particular verse in there because you see in John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And they must have been worried. They must have been looking a bit. That's why Jesus said, peace I leave with you. I've given it to you. You have this. And so Jesus leaves the upper room with the disciples. It says at the end of chapter 14 that they went. And they were heading towards Gethsemane. He was heading towards the cross. And they must have come past a vineyard or come past, you know, I'm guessing it's a vineyard, you know, grapes growing and stuff, and walking in the journey. It doesn't say that specifically in the scriptures, but you can kind of infer it because, you know, they're in the upper room, then they're talking about white vines and branches. And I, God just sort of highlighted this verse. And it's incredible it's these verses that God highlighted because it's actually the verses that Zoe and I had for our commissioning session. You know, remain in me and I in you. It's actually part of the Friends of Christ where we got commissioned, the Friends of Christ session. That was our verses. And God reminds me of this in chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He reminded me of these two verses. It says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can it bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you will and can do nothing. And God kind of reminded me of it. And so I'm in the, like picture me for a minute, I'm on the couch in my half coma. Saying to God, God, I need some peace. I need some help here. And he reminds me of these verses. And I've gone, yes, God, remain in you. I've got that tick. You know, I'm with you there. Don't do it in your own strength. Draw on my strength. Yep, God, got that. You know, remain in him. He'll give me, you know, got that. You're the vine. Yep, got that. I'm the branch. Yep, got that. Everything I have relies on you. Got it. Without you, no fruit. Makes sense, right? I've got that too. But God, I'm tired still. This doesn't help my peace situation out. And I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life where I've needed something from God. God, show me a verse, and I've gone, that's nice, God, but it doesn't help me right now. And as I'm laying there in my coma, God reminded me of this plant. It's actually Zoe's Christmas tree this year. I brought it in from home, so I've got to take care of it. She bought it from Bunnings this year. She wanted a real Christmas tree. It was in the markdown, you know. Actually, does it? Does it have the markdown sticker? Oh, there it is. Markdown sticker, $6. God bless Bunnings, right? I gave it some water this morning, by the way. Not a lot, but a little bit. But I gave it some this is our Christmas tree at home. What do you mean it's sad? It's a beautiful Christmas tree, right? It's a real, there's no tinsel on it. There's no baubles hanging off of it. There's no decorations of any kind. It's just a real little tree. And then I started, like, God says, you know, I kind of looked at that and I started looking at it going, it's a Christmas tree. It's a real Christmas tree. And then I started thinking about the Christmas tree in Busselton and cameras, you might have to walk with me. Kind of looks a bit like this one, you know, it's big. Maybe a little bit. It's got decorations all over it. It looks pretty with the tinsel. I can't decorate trees, so I can't decorate at all. I got people to do this for me. You know, it's got baubles and they sparkle even, you know, like it's the lights on it? Is the lights coming on? The lights don't work. Oh. Oh no, there's lights, it flashed. There we go. So it's pretty, right? It's a lot more impressive than this little tree over here. It's grand. It's compare the two different trees, right? I was thinking about the one in Busselton specifically, not the one here, but the one in Busselton, but it's very similar. Because we got a photo shoot on Monday. And with Rio Tinto, they're going to give us some stuff, so we'll... You know, it's dressed really nicely. Well, the kids did half of it, then we kind of redid a bit of it. But it's nice. And God kind of said, you know, one's fake and one's real. One requires no work at all. We could literally pick this tree up, put it in the cupboard for a year and bring it back out as is and it would be all good. Right? And this one, well, this one needs... It needs some TLC, doesn't it? If we want it to grow, we need to give it some TLC. Beautiful, beautiful tree there, you know. It's big, it's got decorations, it's small. It's real, it's fake. One is grand and looks good, the other, doesn't look as good. One, the world pictures could represent how the world pictures Christmas, you know, big and grand and biggest presents and get the latest of this and that. Well, the other one's a little bit more humble, isn't it? A little bit more kind of there. It has potential. It has, you know, it could have a great future if we water it and look after it and nurse it and invest in it and put fertilizer and soil and, you know. It takes a lot more work than this one. This one here will never, ever produce any fruit. There'll be no seeds from it. It will never reproduce. Although in the Salvos, I'm sure Christmas trees reproduce every so often. But this one will never reproduce, will it? Where this one will eventually grow seeds and reproduce if we let it. And get bigger, much bigger. And in that moment, God started to show me that we could do this, but actually he wants us to do this. In fact, even if we went down the road and we bought a real Christmas tree, let's pretend we could actually get a real Christmas tree. I don't know how much they're worth, but they're selling them down there. Like a big one, you know, like the ones they cut and you stick in it. We could stabilize it and we could put it there. It'd be good. It'd be the same size and everything, but It's not connected to the vine. And it's eventually on its way to die. And so God just started sharing with me, you know. Christmas trees are, you know, are you connected? And I must admit, in the busyness, and this is the real confession of it all now, in the busyness of Christmas, it wasn't God who changed or moved, it was me. You see, in the busyness, the first thing that starts to go in my calendar is time with God. Instead of listening to my Christian worship in the mornings and praying through that, I was listening to Triple M because of what they were doing. And then I was coming to work and it was just one thing after another after another. Some days I got to the end of the day and I realized then that I hadn't spoken to God all day and wondered why I was starting to get tired, because I was starting to do it in my own strength. And this is what people do in our community. They, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are looking for peace and for joy and for love. And they do this. And they think, you know what, I could get some more stuff and do some more stuff. And we could start to, you know, I told you I can't decorate, right? Like we could do some more stuff. Like we'll go down and help the salvos collect for Christmas. Oh, look. I learned if you just push things in there, it will work, right? And we can make ourselves look better and better all the time. And we, oh, that's not going to hang anywhere. Like, I told you I can't decorate, all right? You know, we could try and dress ourselves up more and more and more. And this is what we do. The world is doing it all the time. We try to do more and more and more and more. And we try to make ourselves look better by, you know, putting sparkly things all over ourselves and stuff. But it's really not helpful at all. Because anyway, you look at this tree is dead. And the root issue to it is not that it's not pretty or not great or anything. It's dead. It's not connected to anything. And so this is what God has started to tell me, right? God has started to tell me is stay connected to me. Remain in me. Jesus says, remain in me. Stay connected in the busy. That's the title of my sermon today. Took me all that time to get there. Stay connected in the busy, in the chaos, in the Christmas. Stay connected, because when you connect to the true source of nutrients and the vine itself, then life comes and hope comes and peace comes and joy comes. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
This is a simple message and you may already know this, but if I'm a pastor and I can feel the drift of busyness pulling me away, then my bet is that it's doing it for you too. The busyness of Christmas. Stay connected regardless of what's going on. Stay, like, just carve out that time to really be with God. Like, don't just tick a box saying, yes, I've read the scriptures today, because, look, you can read the scripture, tick a box, and it actually not take any of it in. You could work and do service for the church, and really you're doing it and just dressing yourself up. Like, regardless of God, we need to spend time, really spend time with God, to be in His presence, to really be attentive to what He is speaking to us. You know, a few years ago, a number of years ago now, Zoe and I went to Canada for a friend of hers' wedding. And I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but I was sitting on the couch. I seem to be sitting on the couch a lot. Like, anyway, I was sitting on the couch back then, and this was about, what, 20 years ago? 20-something years ago? I don't know, whatever it was. And she was talking to a friend in Canada who was getting married, and so obviously she wanted Zoe to be one of the bridesmaids, and so Zoe says to me from the phone's in the kitchen, I'm out on the lounge, can we go to Canada? And I go, yeah, sure. I was watching The Simpsons at the time, so you know, like, it's a... A second time she says, can we go to Canada? And I go, yeah, sure, no worries. I have this real good ability to be able to hear what people are saying but not actually hear what people are saying and just kind of answer. Zoe hates it. It's a talent and a curse, because Zoe goes, what did I just say? Well, you just said da-da-da-da-da-da. But I wasn't really listening to her. I was just rabbiting on back to what she was saying. Right, right. And she knows this, and she will pick that up in me when she sees it as well. But a third time, she puts the, goes, hang on to whoever she was talking to, puts the phone down, walks over, stands in front of the TV. Remember, I'm watching The Simpsons. And she's going, can we go to Canada? I heard it the third time. I'd answered the first two, but I actually heard her the third time. You see, Jesus wants us to remain in him, to abide in him, to be present with him. We could tick a box. We could make it look good. But unless we're connected, really connected, spending time, energy, effort, the presence is what we're talking about, yeah? Really abiding. Really abiding. Really abiding. So there's four questions. I'm going to quickly go through these because I know time is starting to tick away. Oh, yes, it is. And I want to give you four quick questions on what I'm asking myself in this next week. And maybe you can ask yourselves this too, that will show you whether you are really connected and spending time in the presence, really connected to the vine or not. Does that make sense? Four questions. You ready? Are you following me so far? Great, because this is just, as I said, what God is speaking, and sometimes it comes out like this. Anyway, here we go. Question number one, is there fruit? Did I use the right there? No, Daniel, I didn't. You're like 3 years old, but you know, good for you, mate. You're such a smart kid. That's my godson right there, right? Is there fruit? Did I use the right there? Oh, great. Which means I probably didn't in the next, anyway, it doesn't matter. Is there fruit? If we are connected to God and connected to the vine, connected to him, then we should be bearing fruit. This tree is never going to bear fruit or seed or anything. It's dead. But this one will. It may not be right now, but when it grows up, it will bear fruit. Are we bearing fruit? A fake tree looks good on the outside. The world thinks that all of it should be that. But it's dead. Are we real trees bear fruit? And if we ask ourselves that question, am I bearing fruit? Like really just not go, oh yeah, I had a conversation with Joe. No, I mean really, really bearing fruit in our lives. Then that would be evident, wouldn't it? It would be evident. Are we bearing fruit, bearing seed? Are we reproducing? Because that's the church's job, is to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people outside of the place. And Christmas, what a great time to do that, because everybody's talking about Jesus anyway. And singing the songs Away in a Manger. No crying you made. Baby crying. Of course he cried. Like, it's like the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? Said the lamb to the... Well, the lamb would have just gone, bah! They wouldn't have said anything else. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Christmas carols are weird, but you know. Are we bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit? Number two, question two, you could ask yourself, am I growing? Am I growing as a Christian? Am I growing in my faith? You could be still screwed up, messed up, totally off the planet, but are you a little bit further ahead in your walk than you were this time last year? And every year I kind of, on New Year's Eve, I kind of just try to take a few moments to assess where I am in life, in my spiritual walk, and make sure that I have grown. But if we are connected to the vine, then we're actually going to be growing, aren't we? We're going to be growing. Don't get me wrong. God might come along and prune some areas here and there, but that's so we can bear more fruit. And that's what he does. You can read it in the start of chapter 15 of John, right? We could be screwed up, but have we developed more than we were last year? Like I'm personally encouraged that there's so many people coming to the Bible study that Zoe runs on Thursdays. That there's people connected into huddles, that there are people who are going through positive lifestyle program, that people who want to better their lives. That's what we're talking about. Are we growing? Are we being discipled? Are we further along the journey than we were this time last year? As I said, I don't care how screwed up you are, as long as you are growing. Amen? Amen. The third question that we need to ask is, do you impact others? Do I impact others? You see, when this tree eventually grows and has seeds and stuff, what happens to the seeds? They fall off. In fact, if this was a fruit tree, let's say this was an apple tree, right? It's not, but let's pretend it's an apple tree for a minute. And it starts bearing all sorts of apples, right? All pink lady apples, because that's Zoe's favourite apple, pink ladies. Right? Let's say there was... Is the fruit for the tree? No. We pick the fruit off and we eat it, right? Or it falls off and decomposes. The fruit is not actually for the tree. See, the impact is that through our works and through the things we do, the fruit of our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, that stuff should be impacting people around us. If you break down that fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians chapter 5, you'll see, you know, are we loving people? Are we joyful around people? Are we patient with people? Do we have self-control? Are we impacting others? Like, you could go through that list of 9 parts of the fruit of the Spirit and you could actually say, am I doing this in my like with the people, or am I having an impact? Because that will show whether you're connected or not. Make sense? Still with me? Good. Good. I'm glad you're still with me. I have no idea where I am in this message. Question 4. Does God get the credit? Simple question. This is simple stuff, I know, but, you know, does God get the credit? Because when we dress up a beautiful tree like this and we make it look good, we can go, oh, who decorated? That's amazing. I put the red on. Can you tell? Looks amazing, right? But when it comes to a real tree, someone has to water it. Someone has to nurture it. Well, actually, if we're talking about us being the branches, then we get all the things we need from the vine itself. Because if I was to cut one of these little branches off, I'm not going to because it's already... Let's pretend I cut one of those branches off. As far as that little branch goes, it's dead. There is no chance of it coming back. Regardless of how fresh it looks right now, it's going to die. Are we connected to vine? Is God getting the credit for it? On Tuesday, I mentioned that the scouts came down to the hall. They did some cooking for us, and we gave them a tour of what we do and explained a little bit about what the Salvos do. And I enjoy those nights because, you know, if we could speak into kids when they're young, then they're going to become adults that are community-minded and actually do some good in our community. And I believe that we can change a generation if we actually get to them early enough. And so we were there and the scouts were here. They did some cooking. They made about, I don't know, 45, 50 meals, whatever it was, that we'll give away to people in need and stuff. And so they're here and finished cooking. And then we started the tour. We showed them the laundry shower facility and we showed them, you know, the bus and what we've spent Red Shield money on. We showed them the youth shed. And we went round, you know, the doorways, cupboards. We showed them everything. And then right at the end, we brought them into this hall. And they sat down here. And then I said to them, the Salvation Army is a church. Do you know how many people don't know the Salvation Army is a church? It's incredible how many people don't know that. Yeah, they think we're just a good charity doing good stuff, but at the heart of the Salvation Army is a church. And so I'm telling these kids and I'm saying that it is God who compels us to work so hard. It is God that challenges us to better our community. It is God working in us and through us is why we run ourselves to exhaustion trying to get food parcels in and Christmas done and this done and that done for people, because we believe that God created them in the image of God. That they are made in His image. And so I'm saying this to the kids and I'm giving credit for all the work that the Salvos do to Him. Now I wish that I'd do that every single time. There's times when I haven't done that. Why do you work so hard? Oh, well, I've got a great team. I've got this. I forget to mention God at all. Does God get the credit for what we are doing? Is the question. Does God get the credit? When God moves through you, do you give Him ultimate credit for everything that happens? I could tell you, Zoe and I would never be standing in front of you as your pastors if it wasn't for God working in our lives. The only reason we're here is because of God. The only reason I'm still alive, because I was on a path of destruction, is because of God. My whole life is that dedication back to Him because He saved me. And at Christmas, we celebrate this idea that a baby was born in a manger. And hope was born, and peace was born, and love was born, and joy was born, and our way out of sin, out of shame, out of wrongdoing was born that day in the manger. And He eventually grows up and He goes to the cross and He dies on the cross for you and for me. And I will work myself into exhaustion every time if it's for God. But as I said, in this moment, I needed some peace. And He showed me, actually, all you have to do is stay connected in the busy. He didn't say, stop doing all the stuff that you're doing. He didn't say, you know, you're doing too much. Like, He didn't say any of that. He just said, stay connected. And so my message today really is, if you want peace, if you want joy, if you want love, if you want hope, if you want anything in your life, connect. Connect. Connect to God. Stay connected in the busy. Stay connected in the health concerns. Stay connected in the financial troubles. Stay connected in the family drama. Stay connected when you are exhausted and out of energy. Stay connected when life throws you all these curveballs. Just stay connected. Really connected. Because it is so, so easy to drift away. And if I can drift away, my bet is that you could too. And I'm not saying I'm better than you, I'm just simply saying. I get paid to read my Bible. And I get paid to preach and to study the Word of God for you. And if I can drift, I can only imagine others would. I might get Christy to come up and start playing. We're going to sing a song, Turn Our Eyes Upon Jesus, because that's effectively what he was telling me to do. Was to turn back and connect in again. I don't think I was disconnected. I just think I started drifting a bit further away, if that makes sense. But I started thinking about this and started thinking about how I kind of drifted. And I started thinking of the fact that, you know, if the way I see it through my eyes, I should have known better. And I should know better. And I started to feel like I was having a go at myself because I know I'd messed up a little bit. Does that make sense? You see yourself through your own eyes and then you go, yeah, I did screw up. I messed up or I dropped the ball there or whatever that is. And so on my couch in my comatose state, feeling exhausted but feeling a little uplifted now because, you know, God has shown me something. And I'm looking at the tree and he goes, you know, what if you saw it through my eyes like you see your son through your eyes? And I started to think about that and I started to think about when my son or my daughter screws up and messes up or does something wrong. I don't love them any less. I might try and correct them and give them a punishment or something, but I don't love them any less. I'm always going to have my arms open wide whenever they have trouble they get into. And they can run and come anytime, regardless of what happens. And I started thinking about that going, I would never just push my kids out or go, you stupid kids, you shouldn't have done, and then disown them and kick them out of the house. I wouldn't do that. I'd just hold my arms up and go, come on, it'll be okay. We'll get through this. You're in trouble, yes, but we'll get through this. You're losing your iPad and your phone, but we'll get through this. With my arms open wide, and then I started to think that's how God is, standing in heaven, going, you know what? You may have drifted, you may have gone off, you may have done, but I've got my arms open wide. You can come anytime, you can run to me and I'll run to you. James tells us that. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And I think we've got to stop looking at what we've done to mess up, but we could go, okay, Jesus, okay, God, we're coming to you. Because we need to We need to really abide in you. We need to really remain in you. We need to actually get hold and be with you. Does that make sense? So don't think today that you're too far gone, that you've drifted too far away, that it doesn't matter. God's mercies are new every morning. His forgiveness will cover every single one of your sins. It is why Jesus was born to start with, was to take our sins and shame and wrong and give us his righteousness and his goodness. Amen. So today, we can have peace, we can have joy, we can have love, we can have hope. And all we have to do is make sure we remain and stay connected. So we're going to sing. And if God has been speaking to you, you can stand and just say, God, yeah, I've drifted a little bit. I'm standing right now. I'll be the first to stand and say that. I've drifted. I've wondered. And it's not like you've lost your faith, and it's not like you've just drifted. Let today be that day where we just refocus back on him, reconnect, where we stay, we abide, we remain in him. We're going to sing this song, Turn Our Eyes Upon Jesus. Here we go.